I don't know where all my time went. I don't know how to define it. So tell me, how do I fight it when it feels so wrong? It's on the tip of my tongue. It's every line in this song. The little things have been with me all along.
All right, Sophie, we talked about futuristic age.
This is like a cuddle couch.
It is like a cuddle couch. We are cuddling to record in your room again.
Yeah, my friend called it the breastfeeding couch.
What do you mean the breastfeeding couch?
Because it's good for breastfeeding.
It is?
Yeah. Look at the size and shape of this couch.
Okay.
Isn't it good?
I could cuddle up to live. I could swing my legs over the side of the couch.
Okay, let's do a quick test run.
I'm really good.
We're just going to do
test.
We have lapel mics. Chloe, we're just going to do a test. Let me show you here.
The amount of tangles.
No. You're fine. We're just going to move this over here.
We can't just move.
We're just going to move.
We're tangled up in tables. Are you telling me to...
Okay.
You're hoping.
You can do this fine. That's fine. We're just going to turn you. We're going to turn you like this.
Yeah, great. Great.
Yep.
Oop. There goes my phone.
Yeah, I lost my mic. You know? Uh-huh. Okay.
Is this what you wanted?
Yes. Okay. Now you need to put this foot up here.
Yeah.
Okay? Uh-huh. Now you need to roll toward me a little bit is the thing. You're being too shy. Don't be so shy.
Where are you trying to put my arm? What's happening?
Okay, get comfy.
Like this? Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Okay, yeah, I could see it.
Is this cozy? It's good. Let me up.
It's good. I see your point. Let me go.
It's an audio medium, Sophie Elizabeth. It is an audio medium. No one's gonna say that was good podcasting.
I disagree. Usual bet.
Usual bet? Fine. Usual bet right here, right now. There.
I think more people are going to say that what just happened was good podcasting.
No, people are gonna be like, that was bad podcasting. I don't know what just happened.
You are insane. You clearly do not know our audience at all. They're going to say this was the best podcasting. This is one of your best episodes ever.
Anyway, okay. You took my cold open away.
Comfy again. Yeah, you got all uncomfy. Put your leg up here.
Okay. So you took my cold open away. So do you want to start the episode? And I'll make my cold open a bit.
See, now, this pose that you're in is great for diaper checks. So I can, put my hand here. See, like this. Oh, you're
right,
still
hello.
Dry.
Welcome to the usual bet. Every week we make a bet. Get out
here,
of here.
I'll do the finger and the leg band one. See, just to... Oh. Yeah, still trying. Good girl.
Start
the
episode.
Look at your little red cheeks.
Get out.
You're just so cute.
Well, we're going to go back to recording
in
the nursery.
You're awful fussy for someone who's still dry. Yes, you are. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the usual Vet Needs to Know Page Play Discussion podcast. I'm the big sister, breastfeeder Sophie Elizabeth.
That got a cackle out of me.
Yes, it did.
I'm the baby sister and apparently exposed baby Chloe Elizabeth, a vulnerable toddler.
Yeah.
And we're here. And now I'm going to start off the show.
One of the things that Chloe.
Okay.
Every episode we come in here, one of us is in diapers, right? But the problem is when one of us is in diapers, usually that's covered up. You usually have some pants on, or I have a skirt on.
I wanted to get this episode recorded. I didn't put pants on. You came in pantsless, and now
You're all cuddled up on my breastfeeding couch.
Yeah, great.
And you got your leg up here, and it's just.
It's your room's cozy. That's what it is. Get out of here. I have important topics. Grown up topics.
No, they're not. We should pick new topics.
They're not grown up topics. Listen, are you ready?
Oh, you ready?
Okay. Sure. So this is going to be my cold open. It can be a short topic.
Oh, okay.
We talked about futuristic age play, right?
Yes.
I said on that episode, I want to get into Neolithic age play, and that's where we're going.
All right. Now this is the part where I pretend I know what Neolithic means. So I seem really cool.
It's caveman times.
The caveman age.
We're going to caveman times age play. Now I think a problem with caveman times age play is there's no language play. You can't pretend not to know how to read because nobody knows how to read because there's no written language.
Or does it just make it easier?
No,
it doesn't. Don't have spoken language either.
Your bigs also don't.
You're sitting here and you go up to your little and you're like, goo goo ga 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 goo 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 ga ga ga. And obviously the baby doesn't understand because that's not actual language.
I want to posit about what I think some Neolithic age play would be.
Yeah. Now, I'm loving the implication that at the dawn of time, before we came up with fire, we came up with age play.
Oh, well, it's always been built in. People weren't writing about it before. People weren't podcasting about it before. But it's always been there, and I'm positive about that.
Okay.
Maybe we can get into some Victorian era age play for the next one. But anyway, we're here right now in the Neolithic era. We're gonna age play it up.
So this is like Flintstones age play.
Yeah, Flintstones age play.
This is people who watched the Flintstones and really wanted to be Pebbles.
Yeah. I'm a little getting worried that I'm using Neolithic wrong, but I'm going to keep going with it.
There is nothing stopping you, Chloe. What you need to realize. Through. Okay, so there's two possibilities.
Yeah.
One. You're correct.
Yeah,
in which case
really
you seem
smart,
really cool. Really in which educated. Case you have to buck, like you have to double down
That's what
on
I'm
what it is.
Yeah,
that you're saying.
I'm committed that to doing
way,
that.
That way, you seem really cool and confident.
I do that with everything
the
in my life.
The second pathway is you're completely wrong about the use of this word.
Yeah.
And
that's
just
endearing.
Makes you, yeah, that just makes you a dumb little baby. A dumb little baby in your pretty little diaper.
Okay, listen.
Yeah, what's up?
So, I'd like to posit, I think age play looks like in the Neolithic era, in lieu of like not being able to read or write, you can't even draw. You can't draw like little cave paintings. You're too baby to draw like a cave painting. You get the little what do they use for painting? What?
Dirt.
You get the dirt everywhere. You can't even make like a stick figure. You're too much of a baby to do a cave painting.
Yeah, okay.
I think that could be like really blushy. Like you can't even draw like a dinosaur, you little baby.
See, I did something similar with Lyra where I gave her some paper and I said,
oh,
draw
I remember
me a
that.
Picture. And she drew me like a picture and then I'm like, oh, like she drew like a science lab or something and I'm going through it and I'm like, this is such a beautiful cafe.
Yeah.
Look at this. Oh my gosh, is this the barista getting coffee?
I think she drew like a tree. Is that a dinosaur?
Is that a dinosaur? Mm-hmm, that's so cute.
I remember that was really cute. It was really effective. So I think that might be.
So we can do cave person age play even now.
I think that
cave required.
I think it shows that this form of age play has stood the test of time. It's tried and true.
Oh.
Gaslighting is the tried and true age play.
Next time, I'm dealing with a client.
Yeah.
And they're like, I swear my boyfriend is gaslighting me.
He's just age play.
I'll just say, are you sure it's not just age play? Are you sure this isn't like a baby diaper thing?
Wow. Incredible.
Asterisk. Disclaimer, don't do that. Please don't do that to people.
Do you have any more Neolithic age play concepts before I jump into our next topic?
So let's talk about diapers.
Yeah. That's something I don't know how to address.
So I actually had a conversation with Juice once where Juice said one of his like pet peeves with diapers is when someone draws someone who's from like a time period or an era,
it's
or
a period inaccurate
and,
diaper.
And it is inaccurate. And this bothers him.
I saw a diaper art today that's doing the rounds, and Juice is so upset because he wanted to do this art first, but someone beat him to the punch. Of like that dungeon anime by Trigger that's out, the eating monsters
thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it was a girl in a high chair and she's in like a fantasy diaper. Like it looks similar to like a modern day diaper, but you could tell that it's like a little bit like in era, and I really appreciated that. So I know 100% what you're talking about.
But I don't like the caveman style diapers.
What is the caveman style
it's
diaper?
It's like a hide, I think.
I don't think that'd work.
No,
yeah.
Hold on. Getting my phone. Looking up Pebbles Flintstone.
So we're just going straight to Pebbles Flintstone.
I'm searching Pebbles Flintstone.
So nowadays, Zoomers listen to our show. Do you think Zoomers know who Pebbles Flintstone is? Do you think that this is like a, are we reaching our full audience here?
Pebbles Flintstone seems to wear a diaper cover over her diaper. It is blue.
Yeah.
I actually don't Google, know what maybe, kind maybe of diaper. Maybe hit
Google caveman diapers.
I'm going to search Flintstone diaper.
Okay, I think you're going to get a Huggies diaper that's got like a Flintstones
print. Don't be ridiculous. Oh, that's exactly what I thought. That's it. That's literally exactly. That's exactly what it was. It wasn't even. You said that it was a Huggies or whatever.
Yeah, I did.
No, it's
Is it like Pampers?
No,
like
it's an adult diaper.
It's an adult. I want to flip that over. I want to see that right now.
I think my
It is.
Yeah,
it's an adult.
My phone knows me too well.
Adult diaper before baby diaper.
There is Dino. Dino's the dinosaur. Right?
Yeah, but no, but like, what's like the period?
There's dinosaur in a diaper here.
What's the period accurate?
Dino,
that's strange. I don't know how to feel about that. But what's the period accurate diaper for a caveman? Do I have to get my phone? Are we just going to Google things together on this?
I just found an image of Pebbles.
Without the diaper cover?
Without a top on and without the diaper cover.
That's a little strange.
It's actually really cute.
Oh, that's cute. It's like it's fuzzy. It's furry. You can see that it's made out of like.
Yes, there is like a level of furriness to it or fuzziness.
Yeah. So a Neolithic diaper would be made out of a Flintstones diaper would be made out of like
fur,
hide.
Fur maybe hide.
Fur hide. I don't personally love that, but like I mean
no see I'm not vibing it. I don't.
But I know littles who don't like the cloth. What about diapers.
Bam Bam?
Bam Bam. Again, I think you're getting really niche here. But listen, Sophie.
Okay, I'm sorry, Chloe. What are the other cavemen cartoons that I can be looking up?
Dave the Barbarian.
Fine, I'll look up Dave the Barbarian.
Don't, please don't.
Bam Bam seems to wear like a skirt.
That's fair. Good for him. Okay, but like, listen. I know littles who only like, even Kimmy. Kimmy only likes plastic bags. She doesn't like pull-ups. She doesn't like cloth diapers because she's from a slightly different baby era.
All right.
I think that this is part of the
I have a question.
The little experience.
What? I have a question, Chloe. Yeah, you think Dave the Barbarian is a caveman?
Yes, I do.
Is that what you think?
Yes, I do. Hmm. Am I incorrect on this?
So in this cartoon, there is like a king and a princess.
Oh, no. Okay.
And a castle.
Okay. You know, maybe he was frozen and he was a barbarian and they. I could be like gaslighting myself into thinking that he is a caveman who's in night times now, maybe. Or maybe he was always just like a barbarian.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Okay, listen, I don't...
I'm pretty sure this is more medieval.
Sophie, you gotta get off your phone. We're podcasting.
I'm sorry, go.
So, did you hear what I said about Kimmy?
No, I wasn't listening to you.
That's why you can't be on your phone.
It's hard to listen because, like, your words just kind of slur together and these little coos and stuff.
Baby babbles, I get it, yeah. I understand.
Are you still dry?
Yes!
I'm just checking Chloe.
I know you don't like the Neolithic diapers, but, like... Kimmy also doesn't like the modern era cloth diapers because like littleness evolves with time, like it grows and adapts. And
didn't you just say that like picture age play was timeless?
Yeah, that one is. It can be two things.
Okay, so littleness.
Yeah, some aspects grow
is
and evolve.
Timeless diapers or not.
The kind of diaper is not.
Okay.
Like in the future, and again, I can't get into this. That's jumping into a whole other future age play segment.
Let's not get into the wrong period of time.
Yeah, we're in caveman.
We're
times.
In a certain era.
But in the future, I bet they'll even have a different diaper than we have now that maybe we wouldn't like.
Ridiculous. You think that the current diaper model can be improved upon?
Positional prints.
You think modern day diapers?
I think we saw it in real time.
Are not
update.
The pinnacle of all diapers.
Yeah, no, I know that because like I started my diaper journey with like Bambinos and stuff and like also cute. And now I'm here with Little Kings and Tykeables from positional printing. Exactly. I really thought that was going to be the boutiquiest of boutique diapers, and when I got it, I was dissatisfied. I was so. Crestfallen when I got those. I thought they
more
would have been
or less than a fur hide diaper.
I don't know. I haven't tried a fur hide diaper. I'm going to keep my mind open on this one. Maybe I'd love it.
Yeah. All right. No, for sure. Okay. If anyone out there knows of a place where we can get a cave baby girl diaper.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
Also, I'm now seeking commissions of me and Sophie, like Neolithic babies, Neolithic toddlers. I want art of that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Pebbles, when I was a kid, when I used to watch the Flintstones.
Yeah.
And granted, the Flintstones is well before my time, but
we had Boomerang.
But we had Boomerang, exactly. Oh, is that where Boomer comes from?
You think Boomerang's a play on Boomer?
Yeah, no, I think
it's like it's the precursor.
The Boomer is
it's not from it the comes baby
from
boom.
Boomerang.
It's not the baby boom. It's no, from Boomerang.
It comes from the Boomerang channel.
Yeah, on TV.
Yeah.
You know, even this joke is going to get dated because as streaming services kill cable. No one's going to know what Boomerang is.
What was I saying? Why did you distract Boomers. Me? Okay, I remember. It was about the Flintstones. When I watched the Flintstones when I was a kid, I always looked at Pebbles and she was crawling around. She's got her little hair up in that little spout and everything. And I'm like, I want to be little Pebbles. So you know what? If anyone wants to draw us and make me Pebbles, that'd be fine. I'd be okay with that.
And if you could draw me as like Bam Bam, but you got to make me like, you got to make the dress he wears like really cute. Like you got to make me really like soft and cutesy. I will be Bam Bam. Bam Bam.
Bam Bam is way more your archetype.
Yeah, I know.
As well.
But he's a boy. But anyway, okay. I have another topic to talk about.
Oh, we're done with this one.
Yeah.
We're
not trying to solve like temporal age, but we're just trying to like dip our toes into it every so often.
You asked. I know you said we're not trying to, but the implication there is we've decided that there's a solution to temporal age play, but actively not addressing the solution.
We're like archaeologists of the past and present of age play right now. That's what this new bit is that I'm introducing to the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we're wearing our archaeology caps. Our little dusties, little dusters.
And we're dusting off like a baby rattle.
The little monocle thing that you examine things with. We're in the trenches. We found the bones of old age play, and now we're
the baby rattles and blocks of old times. Yeah, and I think maybe next time we'll tackle Victorian era, but that's for the future. I've got a new topic right now.
Okay,
Sophie, what's an imaginary friend? Did you ever have one? I've never had one. I think a lot about Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. People talk about them. Do people actually have imaginary friends as children? Is that like a real thing that happens? Are they talking to ghosts? Is a stuffy an imaginary friend in a way? Do littles, do they have imaginary friends? Should I have an imaginary friend? What is it? I've been too afraid to ask about imaginary friends for the last 30 years of my life. I'm ready to know. I don't want to be on the out group anymore.
Okay. What an interesting topic. This is not something you see with littles.
Nope, not at all.
Littles don't really have imaginary friends.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
We don't have that.
So let's,
the closest
let's,
we get is our stuffies, like in our
start.
Relationships with them, right?
Yeah, let's start at the start. Yeah. Okay, imaginary friends.
Yeah.
You've never had one.
I think the closest I got was I thought my house was haunted and that I like could like interact with this ghost maybe. I was never
successful. No, ghosts are real. That's not an imaginary friend.
Yeah, so I think that I was trying to interact with a ghost and not an imaginary friend. And I still think that house is haunted to this day and I'm filled with fear about it and occasionally still have nightmares about it.
All right. So not only is it not imaginary, but also not a friend. So you did not hit the brief at all.
I think we were friends, but then I stopped trying to communicate with them and became afraid of them, and they took offense to that. This is a long story. There's lore here. There's like a lot of lore.
This actually isn't too far off from what I understand. Imaginary friends to be.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I did have an imaginary
You did friends. Have one? Oh, yes. I want to know about that.
Yeah. Okay. when I was a kid, I was like 5 or 6, mm-hmm. and I had an imaginary friend named Juliet.
Ooh, that's a good name. Check yes.
I do think about her when I listen to that song.
That's really cool.
But I had an imaginary friend. Mm-hmm. Her name was Juliet. She was really cool. We would hang out and play together. And it kind of was a lot like having like an invisible friend.
Yeah. That's what I understand it to be. But how and why and what? See, this is what I'm talking about. It's something I've never understood, and it's a truly childish thing. There's an entire kids TV show about it, but it's not something in littleness, so I've never been able to understand it.
So Juliet was like a girl my age, and she was like a normal human girl. She wasn't like a foster's home
imaginary friends. Are either a
just
human
ordinary or people.
Like yeah, or like a vampire or a werewolf or something. I think they're less often like foster's home.
Yeah. So the thing is, nothing was really that special about Juliet. She's just my friend. We'd hang out. Oh, you know what it is though? It's really fun because as I got older, I never really played with Juliet. I had friends. And family, like mm-hmm. siblings. So I was never really alone. I have a ton of younger siblings. Yeah. So like I never was wanting for someone to hang out with. And the way I think about it is an imaginary friend's really great for a kid who doesn't have a lot of people to hang out with. Mm-hmm. So Juliet and I, even when I was quite young, we never really played. We always talked. And usually when we talked, it was, like, at night. Mm-hmm. Like I'd be in bed or something. Yeah. Or times I'd be alone. It's not... If I mentioned Juliet to my mom, I don't know if my mom would know who I'm talking about. Like, I don't know if my parents ever knew about this.
That's really interesting.
Or they might have known, but it's, like, not something I ever brought up that often.
Yeah.
Because whenever I was playing, say I was playing house, or say I was playing a video game, or say I was watching a movie or something, Juliet wasn't there. She was someone I would talk to. And this continued until I was in my early teens.
Oh, wow.
And I think she became a lot more important as I got older, because I started, like, around 9 is when I probably started having an interest in little-y things, mm-hmm. like wanting to be babied. And when we play house, I'd want to be the baby. And that's my earliest kind of memories of things like that. And it was something that I wasn't really open with anyone about, but I was open with Juliet about.
That's
it.
Really interesting.
So when I got older, say 12, 13, and I got to the age of, like, I started dating, mm-hmm. You know, the way that 12, 13-year-olds date, not like the way that, like,
yeah.
people date. I remember having to have a conversation with Juliet about, like romance, I guess, or, like, romantic feelings, and, like, if we had romantic feelings.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because she's basically a childhood friend yeah. for me. So when I'd be laying in bed, we had to have that talk at one point, but both of us were like, no, that's not really us. That's mm-hmm. not what this is. We're just friends. But when I was in my early teens, I did talk to her a lot about baby stuff. And I talked to her a lot about some wish fulfillment. And it was really nice to be able to talk to her. But at this point, I also knew she was imaginary. I probably never didn't know she was imaginary. Like, I knew that she wasn't a real person. She was this person that I made up in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, the function of her
yeah.
seems to just be a way for me to be able to talk about things that I was too embarrassed to talk to other people about.
Or, like, for, like, kids unlike you who didn't have a lot of friends, they could have someone to play with.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Okay. I've formed some opinions on this.
So what happened was eventually I started just to forget about her. In the sense that an imaginary friend requires active engagement.
Yep.
If you have an imaginary friend, they are not going to engage you. You must engage them. Yeah. Because otherwise, you know. So I kind of stopped engaging, not because I felt embarrassed or whatever, because no one ever knew about her.
Life.
I'm not sure I've ever told the story before.
I've never heard the story.
Pudding knows it. But yeah, so as I got older, I just stopped engaging because I'd forget. And then it got to the point where I talked to her maybe like once a month. Mm. And that was maybe when I was 13 or 14. And then it turned into less than that. And then we just stopped talking. And I remember at the end of things, being a little upset with myself for letting this imaginary friend disappear, basically.
Yeah.
And I still think about her. And it's probably just because I'm an imaginative person and mm-hmm. I'm really empathetic, but I hope she's doing okay.
You're so cute.
It feels really insincere now for me to conjure her back.
Like, yeah, no,
if absolutely. I wanted to, like, tonight when I was laying in bed, be like, oh, I want to talk to Juliet again, I don't think I could because
it feels disingenuous.
It would feel, yeah, very insincere, the idea of being able to just bring her back. I feel like that's an element of my childhood that is not coming back. That's
really interesting.
That she is gone, and that's okay. But I hope she's okay.
I'm sure she is. This is really interesting. I don't think this is a thing of littleness that people should try and strive for. Like, I don't think you should try and conjure her back. I don't think there's anything wrong with it if you do want to try and build towards having an imaginary friend, but like, it sounds like this is one of those things that is like developmental almost, in like a real way. Like it sounds like it's important for people who need it, but not like, it's not like, I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do, but I don't know if I agree with you.
I'm not certain. It's like I see it as like the like pinnacle of playing pretend, right? It's like it takes so much imagination. You're like taking like the personality and character and love that you like connect with like a stuffy and like taking that and making that its own entire person.
But is that any different?
I have no idea.
Like,
so I've never now, had an imaginary friend. I don't know.
So now let's talk about littleness.
Yeah.
Almost every little you talk to has some kind of stuffed animal with some kind of name, with some kind of personality. Whether or not that personality is fleshed out or not is its own thing. And I'm not saying that this is a requirement for being little.
No, totally.
But
it's a commonality, not a requirement.
It's something that is a pattern. And we're literally just talking with Mark, mm-hmm. our vanilla friends, about like engaging with littles and saying like, oh no, like you gotta learn the plushies' names.
Of course you
have to, don't forget them. That's very important.
That's a crime,
And thinking about it now, I don't have an imaginary friend anymore.
Yeah.
But I do have Lola and Marcy, which are my plushies. And they have personalities. They're fully 100%. Fleshed out. They have backstories. The day I got them, from then on, they have, you know, their own.
Lola has lore.
Yeah, they have lore. They have.
Lola has the time she stole all the candy. She snuck all the candies away.
Yeah, and then I kept finding candy in my bed for like the next 6 months.
It took us so long to figure out where that was coming from to realize what had happened.
I would empty her out of candy and she would still somehow, their candy would wind up in my bed. I have no idea. She's little, she's like a little miscreant. And alternatively, Marcy, who is Lola's younger sister, mm-hmm. Is a sweetheart. She is very kind. She is very understanding and forgiving and generous. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Whereas Lola's more of a brat, and she, you know, it takes a while for Lola to warm up to someone, but it doesn't take long at all for Marcy to warm up to someone. They have very different personalities. They interact with other people's stuffies differently. They interact with my partners differently. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then there are times when, they do things. Like,
yeah.
Like, they say things, which obviously I'm the only person that can hear them.
Yeah, of course.
Them. And, yeah, like, I think they're as fleshed out as Juliet was.
Okay, so maybe rather than people, like, don't need imaginary friends or don't make them anymore, or, like, it's a thing for, like, actual children, not littles, maybe people do basically have that with how much people put into their stuffies, like, how much of a personality and, like, how much importance littles put onto their stuffies.
Yeah, I agree. I think adults struggle a lot more with that realm of imagination. It's mm-hmm. easier to have a concrete object that you can personify.
Yeah,
and
for
but,
sure.
But as humans, we love personification.
We sure do.
We see the Mars rover, and we're like, we're going to give that thing a personality.
Yep.
You know?
We're going to cry over, like, little poems about it not working anymore and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, like, we love to personify. Mm-hmm. We love to give emotions to inanimate objects. So the idea of using a plushie to create an imaginary friend, I think it's just a bridge between you and that imagination space.
So, okay, I appreciate that. I do have imaginary friends, and that's my stuffies. It's just like an evolved concept or an adapted concept as a little versus like a biological child.
Yeah, and I think imaginary friend is also a little bit, I struggle to say this, but derogatory? because I never really considered Juliet an imaginary friend so much as an invisible friend.
Yeah.
Because I think she's as real as my plushies are, and they're not imaginary friends. They are friends who mm-hmm. I am adding a lot of personification to. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. They're not exactly imaginary,
for
I
sure.
guess.
They're a part of you. And that's not imaginary. You know what I mean?
Like, but then, like, why even have this? What's the function of having a plushie that has personality?
I think it's cute and it's sweet. And it gives you a kind of comfort that, like, kids have. You know what I mean? Mm. And I think it's a comfort a lot of kids are forced to give up and throw away. You know what I mean? Like, mm. I've probably told the story before, but I had a blankie when I was, like, a little kid, and I had it for a while, and then I heard one of my dad's friends, like, making fun of me for it in another room, and I threw it away, and I think I probably didn't really recover from that super well, and, like, I think there's a lot of reasons why people have plushies. I didn't really get to finish that, like, that part of childhood, maybe, so maybe that's why plushies are so important to me. I don't know.
It is very childish, and maybe that's the reason why so many littles fall into this category mm-hmm. of, like, personifying their plushies or creating their own, like, quote-unquote imaginary friends, is the idea of being able to connect with this imagination space
yeah.
that they
oh,
aren't
yeah, for
allowed
sure.
to do as adults.
It's an expression of creative freedom you are not allowed to do. Like a little rebellion.
But it's also so normal.
Yep.
Like I said, we love personifying.
Yep.
So it's super easy to do for most people,
yeah.
creating
people
a personality.
People do it with their Roombas. People,
oh, yeah.
people have names for their Roombas, and they become affectionate towards it. And that's the same thing as having an imaginary friend.
Same with plants.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
People are like, oh, this plant's name is this, and it acts this way,
is
and this is how it behaves.
It's the exact same thing. But I think littles, because we tap into more emotion and more, like, imagination, we crank that up like a little bit, like maybe like 2 degrees, and mm. and focus that into our plushies or stuffies, you know what I mean?
So I don't know how much I've talked about this on the show before, but mm. I've had like dissociation problems, like having issues maintaining like my sense of self and self like sense of identity.
Mm-hmm. I think you've talked about it. It's something that happened a long time in the past now, and if you're really struggling in life, can like kind of bubble up.
Yeah, it does still happen very rarely when things get very bad, and mm-hmm. it's basically like an off switch that allows me to do something else, be something else, and I understand that dissociation isn't exactly the same thing as like an imaginary friend, someone that experiences them. But I do think that there's a little bit of overlap there.
Yeah.
Like being able to even subconsciously or unconsciously create elements of yourself and create a second persona or mm-hmm. Different, like being able to prioritize certain parts of you and make that into something new. Like you as a person are so complicated. People are so complicated. We talked about this last week on the previous episode. People are so contradictory that sometimes the easiest way to do that is to quite literally create a division in your sense of self. And this doesn't have to be as excessive as, say, dissociating or having alters. But even the idea of, oh no, like I'm in work mode or whatever, like
That's like a real thing. I'm in work little, mode. Or, I'm hey, in little space.
Little space. Yeah. Like little space is a different...
slightly altered state of mind.
Yes, exactly. It's another version of you where you can change up your priorities.
Yep.
And personifying that as its own thing, either by giving it a name or giving it a certain style of dress or whatever, I think also explores the same idea of what imaginary friends or what plushies explore.
You know, I think you're right. Like, I have a whole different wardrobe and style and slightly different personality for my little side. And that's a similar space. So, like, I gave that persona of mine a lot of these traits that I have assigned it, just like I've assigned traits to my plushies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I live out that persona and those traits, and I do the same thing with my plushies. I live out my plushies' traits because, you know, that's the traits they have, and it's a very little thing. And it's a thing I think everyone does. Hey, we have a friend who's not a little at all, who we've talked about a little bit on the show. She has a plushie that she loves dearly. She is not a little. And she actually genuinely feels, like, firmly against other people pretending they have a relationship with it.
Yeah.
Of, like, she would get upset if someone came back and said, oh, your plushie said this while you were gone. She's like, no, it didn't. I don't like you assigning traits to my plushie. Don't do that. Like, it's so human. It's not just littles. I think littles just amplify this, but it's not just littles.
It's a really great exploration into this space that I feel like reality does such a good job of trying to pull us away from.
Right. People are complicated.
And age play itself is that imaginary space.
Yeah.
Like, age play as a concept exists within the imagination space. Mm-hmm. So having a bridge, be that, you know, a plushie or an imaginary friend or even like a headspace or a little space name or personality,
mm-hmm.
means that you have easier ways of accessing this very powerful imagination space.
Wow. I think that's topic. I think we blew the lid right open on that one. I think that was a great discussion.
This was fun.
I did not expect
this
to be this.
I've never thought about it. I've never really gotten into the real nitty gritty of all of these things mean.
It's also really nice because I think as the show has gone on longer and longer, it's hard to find things we haven't talked about with littleness. And like sometimes we're just goofing off and sometimes we're like, oh, this is tangentially little, but this was like squarely little, a little thing. And we really dove into that, and I liked it.
When I started writing, still on the topic of imaginary friends, when I started writing with Pudding back when we first met.
Oh yeah.
A lot of the things that we early things that we wrote were versions of us from the past if X or Y
That's
was different.
That's so fun, yeah. I think those are so fun.
Like, we have a whole story of what if we met in fifth grade kind of thing.
Yeah, I love those.
And that, exploring that is really great. And I feel like back then, I used writing a lot more for exploring myself.
Mm-hmm.
And creating a character isn't that different from an imaginary friend.
Oh, for sure. Like, all tabletop is imaginary friends.
Yeah. And
I,
for sure.
I feel, okay, I'm pretty invested in our tabletop campaign. I feel real genuine care and thoughts and feelings about my character's tabletop friends. You know, like, they're imaginary friends, the NPCs of the world space. I get pretty deep into the character. I get, like real invested in my character's emotions, and I care about them. When they die, I'm genuinely affected. If like, you killed off one of my character's closest friends, I'd be really affected in real life. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Liv, when I killed off her horse in our last campaign, because she was, a knight who had a horse and she jousted, she went upstairs and cried. After the scene was over, she went upstairs and cried in real life.
Hey,
and
at the end of our last campaign, when we had to basically say goodbye to our characters, my gosh, right? I was a wreck for like a week.
And that's the same concept. And that's really interesting. That's another cool lens to look at it through.
Yeah. Imaginary friends are also your D&D characters, you know?
This is neat.
And now I'm thinking about the fact that there's like D&D therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine that, like, I think that there could be, like, an imaginary friend therapy. Yeah. I actually know that there's a lot of tools that use that kind of principle in order to process certain things.
Have you considered taking your clients to Build-A-Bear?
Hey, I understand this is a completely biased opinion, but there is a lot of emotional healing in age play.
And I'm not even saying someone has to become a little. I genuinely mean it. Just having like a plushie, even for a vanilla, it's nice. It's nice. It can just be really nice.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. Lyra, I've never asked Lyra about this, but I know that she really didn't have a lot of plushies before, like, I got her. Like, she had plushies, but they weren't to the degree of her Build-A-Bear that I got her. And now she's way more in tune with that. Also, with D&D characters, I know that prior to this campaign, she liked her D&D characters a lot, but the emotional investment was very different. Because she's a very rational person, and she's not good at exploring imaginary spaces. So I think that her working on things like improv and her leaning more into the emotional side of D&D... And her believing more in her plushie and her plushie's persona and all of that has really opened her up to littleness. Before all of these things, she was very closed off to littleness. So
that's really interesting.
If you struggle with littleness, make up a friend or play tabletop games.
Yeah. Maybe do both. Maybe play APDL tabletop. if you struggle with like a little space, maybe get a plushie or give your plushie some more characteristics. Is your plushie kind of bratty? Are they kind of cuddly? Are they a little sweetie?
What do they like? What did they not like?
Yeah,
Lola has a lot of things she doesn't like.
Paige also does, and like it can be really simple stuff. Like Amber, she's my little stuffed tiger, and she's got like little magnetic clasps that cover her eyes, and thus I say she's cowardly, and like that's like inherent to like how she's made, but also it's a personality trait. Like those, it can be as simple as that. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
man, we crushed this.
This is a fun topic. This is really explorative topic. I really liked it. So good job. Good job, Chloe.
Gosh, okay. Again,
did you stay dry through the whole thing? Keep your hands up.
Tell people. Ugh. You do not need to check me.
Yeah, tell, still dry.
Thank you.
Such a big girl. You're such a big girl.
Where can people go to vote on the fact that this start of this episode is not good podcasting?
Oh, Chloe. Subscribe to our .adult/Sophie and Pudding.
It's just going to sound like a bunch of...
Subscribe to our .adult/Sophie and Pudding.
Subscribe
to our .adult/Sophie and Pudding.
It's just going to sound like a bunch of shaking, sure moving isn't. Around.
Oh, man, Chloe, you're wrong.
Okay. What else is there? Is there a tweet, the tweeter stuff, the email?
Yeah, at the usual bat. And our email is theusualmailbox@gmail.com.
All right.
I still check it. I still reply. Heck, I do it. Yeah. I do it like once a week, but I still do it. Thank you, Mimi, for help with our theme song. Thank you, Juice, for wonderful cover art. You can find him at subscribestar.adult/juiceboxart. And shame on Kimmy.
No, actually, not shame. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Okay, because she does really good with her imagination, with, like, Pikachu and how much she cares about Pikachu and her thoughts on Pikachu.
Her Pikachu definitely has a lot of good personality and stuff.
Yeah, she really dives into this.
All right. Good job, Kimmy, on using your imagination space.
Good job, Kimmy.
BBY-Kimmy.tumblr.com.
Awesome.
Okay, that's it.
That's it. Bye-bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.